When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? You are back with District Baseball, and we are here, ladies and gentlemen. Playoff baseball is right around the corner. The bracket is set, and we are talking about it all here on today's episode. But before we get into that, Trey, how's it going, my friend?
It is going well, Nick, and I am so freaking excited for Tuesday and Wednesday. Those are my favorite days last year during the playoffs.
It's like March Madness, but baseball.
Exactly, and it's going to be fantastic. And hopefully even – let's just go to three games in all those series. Let's even add an extra day.
Absolutely.
And let's all just watch baseball all day together. But, other than that
– I can't wait.
it's going to be freaking fun, man.
Wait. I mean, you guys see me already. I'm – wearing the hat of the team I'm rocking with this postseason. It's Blue Jays season, baby. We are making a run. And then when the Blue Jays inevitably get eliminated in the first round, we're rocking with a different team because that's how playoffs work.
Yep. Just hop on the bandwagon when your squad's not in it. And yep. There's an aspect that's even more fun when your team's not in it, because when your team's in it, it's a lot of stress. So
yeah,
we're lucky from that perspective. Although we'd rather be in the playoffs. That would be more fun. Anyways.
You know who's not in the playoffs, though? Chicago.
The Cubbies. Oh, man. I mean, talk about a Chicago-style collapse. I mean, it really was. It was tough. Yeah. I mean, it was some of those years before they eventually end up winning the World Series where everything kind of just falls apart at the end, and it happened again.
Yeah.
Now, I think Cubs fans can look at this in two different ways. I think one, you overperformed by a lot.
Yeah, like, for sure.
You're in a good spot heading into the future with your squad, young talent and talent that's locked up. Get Cody Bellinger back on the roster and you guys are good to go. And I think that you can say, hey, we did a great job and we put ourselves in a position to make the playoffs. I think you can also be super upset by the way they collapsed in September. And both of these things can be true because they had a 92% chance via Fangraphs to make the playoffs in early September. And now they have a 0% chance. So it was kind of everything snowballed at once. You know, it was the pitching failed. It was the lineup couldn't produce when the pitching was good. It was just sloppy play. Cursed moments. I mean, that's Seiya Suzuki missed fly ball is just that moment. That's one that's going to stick out.
It's not
Cubs
quite
fans.
The dude's name, Bart something.
Yeah, they've had multiple of those kind of.
Why can't I think of the guy's name?
There's Steve Bartman. There's
Steve Bartman.
But there was also another player who dropped a fly ball in another run that failed for them. I can't remember his name now. But you know, they've had their fair share of cursed moments, and this will stick out to them if they don't recover next year and make the playoffs, which I do think that they have a good chance to do. So it's not all
they're
going to
be.
Gloom.
Yeah. But they're going to be aggressive with it too. They're going to know they just missed out and there's blood in the water and they can go. Like, would it shock anyone truly if they went out and signed Shohei Ohtani? Because it would not shock me.
That would be sick. And like they, I mean, they clearly, have the, they have the that, Japanese connection there with
Say, right. I was going to say not that Shohei, yeah, not that Shohei's an international free agent anymore, but they've already, you know, shown a proclivity to, you know, dip into that market.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, would it shock anyone if that's the response they had to this kind of collapse? Wouldn't shock me. You know, this is an aggressive franchise. They were super aggressive with the rebuild. It worked. Like, yeah, they missed the playoffs this year. Their rebuild worked. They're effectively at the end of their rebuild in like 2 years, which is absurd. Like, it's like so much credit needs to go out to everyone involved with that franchise. And, you know, I'm sure if you talk to Cubs fans, there's still the jury's out on, you know, David Ross and some other pieces. But, you know, they had a good year. They had a really good year. And, you know, there's a lot to be excited about going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I honestly, if we're going right now, I think they're probably going to make the playoffs next year, assuming that they get, you know, a stud in free agency, either by retaining Bellinger, Ohtani, yeah, or somebody else. They still do need a little bit more, but I think that they'll get it.
Agreed.
So, yeah, it was bad at the end there, but overall, not too bad. I think Cubs fans can find some solace in the entirety of the season.
Agreed.
And they wanted to find some solace in an NL Cy Young. Unfortunately, Steele did not quite make it to the end, although he was fantastic this year. But that just brings us back into the award discussion, where we will finally choose our players. I think we've been skirting around some of these awards because there's been some close races. But Nick, who you got in the National League for the MVP?
I think it's funny because so many of these races were so good in August and September, but now here we are at the end of the season, early October, and it feels like a lot of them have really cleared up. National League MVP, I would still vote for Mookie if I had a vote. That's just where I'm at. I put more stock into the value. I think the outstanding performance matters in an MVP, and that certainly, you know, gives the edge to Acuna. But I think what Mookie has done to a Dodgers, or for a Dodgers team that seems much weaker than years past, yet they still won 100 games, is just incredibly invaluable. Yeah, they have a Freddie Freeman there, but the Braves had Matt Olson and Austin Riley and Sean Murphy, yeah, and Ozzie Albies.
An abundance of riches.
Right. So franchises. It's like, you know, the argument goes both ways. I would give it to Mookie, but I think it's going to be Acuna. He has, you know, there's no denying the outstanding part of the MVP, his outstanding is one of the best in recent years. So you can't really deny that. And I think the 40-40, or in his case 40-70, really just solidified that. So I think it's going to be Acuna, even though I would vote for Mookie.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I would also vote for Mookie, although it is exceptionally close. This is pretty much the only race that is really close. I think everything else is kind of set in stone, yeah, at this point. But here we go Freddie Freeman had like 60 doubles.
I was just about to say that. If someone really wanted to put together an argument for Freddie Freeman for MVP, I would allow it because that good.
Yeah.
He's just that good. So the 1-2-3 in the NL MVP is like the best three-person finish in MVP. I'll have to go back and look, but like in quite some time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got 3 8 F4 seasons to choose from. That is tough. That is very tough. Now, so it's not as tough, I don't think, in the other categories here. AL MVP, I mean, it's Ohtani.
It's Ohtani.
Because he's Ohtani.
Corey Seager.
The Shohei Ohtani Award goes to Corey Seager. I listed him.
I'll take it.
The Shohei Ohtani Award to Seager. He had like a 175 WRC+. Didn't even play the full season and was still like a top 10 player in F4. Another guy who I wanted to mention as well, who did not play the full season, but was top 15 in F4 in for qualified position players, Aaron Judge. Did you even remember Aaron Judge? I mean, I swear,
no idea
because
who
the,
that is.
The Yankees are out, so no one's talking about Aaron Judge. He was unbelievable in the 106 games he played this year. So I wanted to give him a shout out because he obviously won last year. I'm assuming that you would say Otani's MVP as well in the American League. So I don't really need
He's AL. Yeah. MVP.
The NL Cy Young Award is more of an interesting discussion after the guy who is going to win, which will be Blake Snell. I think you're definitely a Snell guy, so you probably would also agree with that.
Correct? Yeah, like the walks are a part of the conversation, but like everyone has the red flags, I guess. In terms of the argument for
there's no purely dominant NL starter this year.
But like, if you want to go, if you're a person that factors in the dominance, look at Blake Snell's last 18 starts to end the year. And then come back to me with the walks and stuff like that. Like, he was purely dominant over a large portion of the season. Like, I think Passan tweeted it out. Like, if you want a compiled list of his performance in every start, that's easy to read. It's like a 1.89 ERA and 130 some innings.
Yeah.
He's the Cy Young.
Yeah. It's the, you know, I'm obviously the innings and run prevention guy. That's my thing. And he didn't have the most innings, but he got 180, and his run prevention was so ridiculous that it's not even a debate.
Time to win a second Cy Young.
Absolutely. Right when you're about to hit free agency, he's going to get a bag. Good for
him. It also, and this is a completely separate conversation, puts him in a conversation for Hall of Fame consideration. Should he continue on?
Double Cy Young, you have to be at least a thought in someone in a voter's head. Like, So I'm with you there. Snell definitely in the National League. In the American League, there's actually it's Gerrit Cole, I think.
Personally. Yeah, agreed. No real debate here.
Yeah, because he had the both the most innings and the best ERA. So that's for me.
He's never won one. This feels like a Leonardo DiCaprio. Like,
it is. Yeah,
you needed to win before this, but even though this is not your best role, it's not Gerrit Cole's best season, you're going to win now as like a makeup for all the times you didn't win.
Yeah. And I think pretty much the only guys that were really in his ballpark were Sonny Gray and Kevin Gausman. Sonny Gray had a 2.79 ERA in 184 innings, which has been the best season of his career in a while.
I was going to say, now he's going to have a 4 ERA next year because he always goes back and forth.
And he is also a free agent, I believe, after this year. So congratulations, Sonny Gray. You're probably going to get paid. And then Kevin Gausman was excellent once again. Kevin Gausman was excellent last year, and he's just kind of been on the outside looking in on the
excellent year before. Yep.
Yeah. He's a guy that you might want to watch for future next a couple more years where he's still effective. Before he kind of gets a little older. But yeah, I think Gerrit Cole deserves it. He's not my favorite person or personality or pitcher to watch, but I like watching him pitch. Okay, well, let's back that up. That's fun. But other parts.
Character-wise,
but I can't.
Bit of a loser.
I can't really use that as a way to justify anything. So yeah, Cole's.
No character clause when we're voting for our
especially not us. especially not us. I mean, like, to an extent. Anyways, then it's a Rookie of the Year awards.
My only
prediction that I got right, basically, from the preseason, Corbin Carroll is the National League Rookie of the Year. Like, it's not even a good prediction to get right because everyone said he was going to do it and he did it.
Yeah.
It was the obvious choice and I feel bad now. Anyways.
I went bold, and I think there's the Shohei No Tani Award. If there's a No Bin Carroll Award, Kodai Senga is my pick to be different. And he was excellent in his first year. In America and obviously in Major League Baseball, there's an argument for NL Cy Young in there as well. He wouldn't win, but I think he's going to get some votes.
Yeah, he's probably a top five guy.
Yeah,
Cy Young.
So I just want to throw that out there. But yeah, Gunnar and Corbin Carroll were like as about clear cut favorites at the start of the year, and I think now at the end of the year, that's probably who's going to win.
Yeah, they both probably exceeded expectations, honestly. I mean, we thought they'd be studs, but they're super studs. So
Corbin Carroll was like Acuna level there for a while.
Yeah, he had a little slowdown in August that kind of, you know, dropped him a bit, but overall he was unbelievable. And he's got the stolen base.
And the D-backs made the playoffs, so he's obviously a very key component to that.
Yes, absolutely. And now that we have those awards and everything is done in the regular season, it's playoff time, baby. We got some matchups to talk about. And I personally wanted to start with the Rays.
Okay.
The Rangers and the Rays, they play each other. And I think this matchup really does not favor Texas. And we were talking about this before we even started, how they kind of blew it in terms of the division. Like, they had that thing and they let it go, and now they're going to have to play the Rays in round one. They're not surviving that series. They didn't have enough time to recover their pitching, and they're not going to be able to stop the Rays offense. Meanwhile, the Rays do have the pitching to at least slow down this great Rangers offense. So on paper, the Rangers really messed up by not winning the division, I think. But because now you have to deal with this freaking the most annoying team to probably manage against too, because their bullpen is so crazy. It's going to be tough. I think the Rays are going to pretty much walk all over them.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the Rangers really needed that bye because you know, whoever won the AL West was guaranteed a bye, because the Twins, despite winning their division, were not going to be better than whoever won the AL West. So the Rangers had it. They were in first through the weekend, and then they managed to somehow eliminate the Mariners but lose the division.
I know. That was actually... Like,
I don't understand how that happens. But alas, the Astros won the division, and, you know, now the Rangers are having more odds stacked against them. And, you know, there was some hope that Max Scherzer could come back later in the playoff run. That's not happening now, unless, you know, they somehow pull off a miracle upset. But the Rays have been there and done that before. Yeah, they haven't won a World Series, but listen, they are playoff battle tested. Like, they're going to steamroll this first matchup. Like, this is the most confident, like, first round matchup I have.
I think the Rays are just better right now.
I also think the Rays are just intrinsically motivated to face Baltimore again. They went into Baltimore with a chance to, like, overtake the division and lost.
God, I need that series.
So I think they want that. They know if they get through the Rangers, they're getting Baltimore again. And I think that's what they want. And like you just mentioned, that's what we, the fans, want too.
Yeah. And they want Baltimore. That's for sure. After that, the way that last series ended, they were up 2-0 in that series, and they let the Orioles win those two games and win the division.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to happen. I mean, come on. But moving on, I think we have an even closer series, like a really close series next, with the Twins and Blue Jays. On paper, these teams match up really well. They both have really good starting pitching. They both have solid bullpens, and they both have pretty good lineups. Not the best, not the worst. So like I said, on paper, this is really close. Of course, we have to deal with the Twins curse, which I found out was 18 straight games, not 19, like we said last week.
Now we're talking about the correct things. Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. If I was just going based on, you know, my statistical brain here, I might be going with the Twins, but because they've got a bit of a curse going, we gotta see it before I can even think about picking them in a series. So I'm going with the Blue Jays. Nick, who are you? Who could you possibly be rooting for in this series?
Listen,
I have no idea.
The World Series trophy runs through Toronto. I bleed Toronto Blue Jay blue. I always have, always will. The Twins are nothing. They're not going to win the single game. The curse is going to live on. The Blue Jays, they've just kind of been slow playing everyone in the AL this entire year. They knew they didn't have the firepower to win 104 games. That's fine, or whatever. The Orioles, that's fine. They're not worried about it. They're gonna let the Rays and the Orioles, like, tire each other out and then be gassed in the ALCS. Meanwhile, they're gonna handle the Twins in three games. They're going to handle the Astros in four games, and they're going to find themselves in the ALCS in the minimum amount of games played, ready to go, ready to take on an opponent they've seen 14 times already this year. And they're going to find themselves in the World Series, like, without even breaking a sweat. So listen, don't come to me talking about the Minnesota Twins in the playoffs. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is the Blue Jays time. Like, no one's talking about them anymore. Like, all the attention turned to the Mets and the Padres about these super teams, but that was what Toronto wanted because they had those expectations previously and it was too much. But now they're playing with house money, baby, and they can just make a run and ride into the sunset with that World Series trophy riding shotgun.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That was an excellent rant right there about your squad, about your Jays.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm convinced. I'm with it. Let's go. Let's go, Blue Jays. I have been indoctrinated. Anyways, let's move on to this D-backs and Brewers matchup. I think this is another one-sided battle here. The D-backs overperformed and good made story. The playoffs. They should feel good, similar to the Cubs. They don't have it.
Give me the Brewers pitching.
Give me the Brewers pitching. Just that good. I think we can go ahead and just confidently say the Brewers will probably take that series. Then we got Phillies and Marlins. Now, again, on paper, this is probably a Philly series win. The Marlins got the devil magic, though. I'm going to pick Philly, but I will not be surprised if somehow Miami just becomes godlike in the playoffs because they've been riding this crazy devil magic for their crazy record in one run games, which they've won like 35 of them, which is just absolutely ridiculous. So none of what they've done this year is really that sustainable, but you don't have to have it sustained in the playoffs. You just have to get lightning in a bottle,
get hot at the right time.
They do have the starting pitching. But I will go ahead and defer to the Philadelphia Phillies in that series.
Yeah. Like they made the playoffs in the COVID shortened 2020 season and obviously didn't win, but anytime the Miami Marlins have made the playoffs, they've won the World Series. And at the boat, like the two times that happened, they made it as a wild card team. So it's like, yeah, that was 20 plus years ago, but listen, the devil magic does not have an expiration date. But like in all seriousness, I think the Marlins just aren't being talked about enough. Specifically, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Kim Ng, I believe is how you pronounce her name.
Yes.
She deserves a lot of credit. And I believe, I may not have my facts right here, I believe her contract, she's kind of like a lame duck right now. She doesn't have a contract extension.
Which is insane.
She deserves one. Like, like, let's not, you know, revert back to like our, not our, baseball's, you know, misogynistic tendencies.
Oh yeah, that's a whole other story.
Like she has done a great job, and I think literally if it was any other GM, they would have a contract extension. But you know, people are always looking to poke holes, and if you look at the Marlins trajectory for years, especially around the time they traded Yelich and Stanton and all them, like to be where they are now with the young core that they do is a testament to how well they were built. And Kim Ng has a lot to do with that, especially with the, you know, the Derek Jeter debacle and all that stuff. So, but that's besides the point. We're talking playoffs. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if the Marlins win. You know, they've seen the Phillies a lot. They know how they match up again. Jesus Luzardo starting game one. He's 2-0 against the Phillies this year. So
he had an excellent season as well.
Yeah. So it's like, would it shock me? No, but I think the Phillies are going to be just fine. They have some work to do. They're not quite as stacked on paper as they were last year and like rolling as well as they were last year, but I think they're going to be fine. And similar to the Rays wanting the matchup with the Orioles, I think the Phillies really want the matchup with the Braves.
Yeah.
And I do too. So
yeah, honestly, I know that we hate those teams, but I mean, when they clash in the playoffs, it is pure entertainment and fireworks.
Yeah.
I mean, just the last year, you cannot tell me that you were not entertained, even if you are a fan of the Nats or Mets.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty nuts. Yeah, I agree though. I wanted to shout out Kim Ang for the fact they would be foolish to not bring her back. Foolish.
Yeah.
Josh Bell, Jake Berger, save their season.
Yeah.
She did that.
Yep.
Case closed. Anyways, yep. I've been saying anyways a lot. I don't know why, but I have been. I'm going to try and stop that. but yeah, so past these wild card matchups, there's also a World Series eventually. And Nick, who's making the World Series? Who's winning that thing?
Well, clearly the Blue Jays, okay. As I previously mentioned, yes. Per my last email. Yeah, in all seriousness, I'm hoping I don't catch too much flack for this as an Nats fan. I'm still a Nats fan, always will be a Nats fan. It's fun to see the Orioles do well.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you.
It
there.
Is. It's not so fun to see the Braves do well, and I really don't want to go chalk with the one seeds. But that my gut says that this year is the year where it's just like the best teams all season are going to be the teams that find themselves in the World Series. But I'm not going to do that because that's no fun. We're not going to do that. I am going to go Orioles though. And I think they are going to play the Philadelphia Phillies. Once
Ooh,
again,
okay.
I think the Phillies
repeat.
If they get past the Braves, that's the toughest test. Like,
yeah.
Like, and I'm not trying to discount the Dodgers, even though the Dodgers struggle in the playoffs, like, but that Dodgers team is just not, you know, the same quality. Like their offense is, yeah, but their pitching is weak. It's really weak, especially if you, you know, go to years past. So I'm going to go Phillies because they've gotten over the hump, right? So they don't need to prove something to us. They won the NL pennant last year, so they know how to do it. They still have a lot of key components. They need some guys to step up for sure, but they have the key components there. I think the Orioles win, but I'm almost, part of me wants them to make the World Series but lose because I want them to spend.
Yeah, that's
like
a good point.
I don't want their cheap owner to be rewarded for not spending money. So like I'm conflicted, even though I think they will win. So I'm going to go Phillies because they've kind of taken the opposite route of they're spending money to build their roster. So I think the Phillies are going to take this. So I'll go Phillies over Orioles.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have the experience. They've made it there before. And yeah, maybe they'll be the team to get over that hump. And the NL East has been pretty good in the playoffs. So in recent years, besides the Mets, unless you want to go back 2015, which I don't. Anyways, I'm going to get weird with it. The Dodgers have fewer expectations than ever. This is the first year in like a decade where it's not Dodgers, 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 Dodgers and how they're so good. It's Braves. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the year the Dodgers win. I think I'm going to go Dodgers over Rays. I think the Rays are really good. They have excellent pitching, excellent offensive capabilities, and they're hungry to beat those O's. But I'm getting weird with it. I'm going narrative ball.
I like it.
Paper, I don't really like this Dodgers roster that much. And you're right. Their pitching has been way worse. So this is when they have got no expectations of anything. Why not? Let's go Dodgers over the Rays.
Yeah, I like it. And that's,
and I can't really justify that with numbers because they've been worse this year. It's just a narrative right. ball thing.
Even though the run differential is still as great. Like we talk about their pitching not being great. Like their run differential is like still over 200. Like it's,
yeah, that's that,
and they
that.
Still won 100 games. Like, I don't know why I'm trying to like discount them so much, but I'm not, but I am, I think. So it wouldn't shock me at all. But I think we can all agree that we'll just prepare for a Braves Astros World Series because like that's what it's going to be.
Please no.
I will say, should my Phillies pick come true, really hope Angel Hernandez is nowhere near the World Series, the playoffs, Major League Baseball, like at all. Like Angel Hernandez is terrible, but
that, yeah, the Bryce Harper thing, that was so funny too. Just to mention it real quick, Harper's interview in the, at the end, a reporter asked him, yes, he asked, he was like, dude, have you seen the replay? He's like, I don't need to see it.
Just for those that don't know,
Angel threw out Bryce.
Yeah. There was a check swing. The Phillies had already made the playoffs, but you know, they're trying to fine tune themselves for the postseason run. And there was a check swing on Bryce Harper on a 3-2 count against a pitcher he's never faced before. He didn't go. Like, it's pretty clear cut he didn't go. Angel Hernandez, third base umpire, says he went. Bryce loses his mind. Obviously, like, he's not the first person to lose his mind over Angel Hernandez. I think Kyle Schwarber had a pretty epic blow up maybe last year where he slammed his bat down, slammed his helmet down. I believe that was Angel Hernandez umping.
It was.
As well. So, yeah, like, there's a history there. Like, it's not like Bryce just lost it for no reason. There's definitely plenty of reason there to lose it. But in his post-game interview, Bryce had said that Angel Hernandez said, watch the replay, and then you'll realize that I was right. And so, as Trey mentioned, someone asked Bryce, hey, if you watch a replay, Bryce said, I don't need to. And he's right. Like, there's just no point. Like, it was not even close. But that's Angel Hernandez for you.
And he won't be in the World Series because he's
terrible.
Yeah. There's that. And also his lawsuit and everything. And they basically said he sucks at his job. Anyways, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought completely there.
You're good.
Moving on to the last category here, we wanted to talk quickly about some legends that are leaving the game via retirement. We also had a couple unfortunate passings of legends who left the game for a different reason. Brooks Robinson passed away, Hall of Fame third baseman for the Baltimore Orioles, and Tim Wakefield, legendary Boston knuckleball pitcher for their World Series team. So we wanted to quickly mention them. And moving on to players who are just retiring, we have Miguel Cabrera. First of all, obviously one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time. Adam Wainwright for the Cardinals recently got his 200th career pitching win. He's retiring. Terry Francona is retiring as a manager for mostly health reasons. He's been kind of in and out of the team with some different ailments.
Yeah, he said I need my knee replaced, my hip replaced, my shoulder replaced. So I think, you know, obviously it's being it's taxing, you know, as an MLB manager. So I think, health reasons. Thankfully, it seems like he's okay. He has a lot going on in his life.
Exactly. So. It was more the managing on top of all that. It's just a bit too much, but he's okay. And then we have a potential retirement for Joey Votto. He has not said one way or the other. I hope. Give me one more Joey Votto.
I think he comes back. I think you're right.
He wouldn't rehab. He wouldn't rehab that shoulder. He would not rehab that shoulder to come back for a half season. He's coming back one more time.
Yeah,
please. I need it. But yeah, let's talk about Cabrera. We got to, you know, at least expand upon him a little bit. He's a future Hall of Famer. One of the best right-handed hitters ever. Actually had a really good final series in Detroit. Hit a home run.
Really nice send off.
Yeah, it was some good stuff. Obviously one of the nicest dudes in the sport. He's always cracking jokes, smiling, laughing. And he's not too bad at baseball either. Triple crown winner, the last guy to do that. You got any thoughts on any closing thoughts on Miggy here?
It's funny because like Pujols retired last year, right? And someone posed a question like, would you rather prime Miggy or prime Pujols? And like, that's a fascinating argument.
Tough.
I think they after the initial debate, they even expanded upon it to include like prime, I think it was prime Trout and prime A-Rod, and like start your franchise kind of thing with one of those four. And I'm just like,
That's impossible. Yeah, to pick one of those guys and decision. Lead out the other three.
But it's like, you know, recency bias was a thing at the time. But you're like, Prime Pujols. Prime Pujols was awesome. But then you're like, wait a minute, Prime Miggy is one of the best players of all time.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't think there's a wrong answer, but yeah, Miguel Cabrera is just one of those guys that, like so many, the end of their career kind of skews the perception on how good they truly were. Like Pujols went through. Like Pujols mm-hmm. was, you know, tough to watch at times. Like I think back to watching the tail end of Ken Griffey Jr.'s career, who was like one of the greatest of all time, and he was terrible, you know, the final couple of years, you know. So it's important to remember how good they were, and Miggy was one of the best.
One of the best. Like, there you go.
He's
just simply one of the best.
Absolutely, first ballot Hall of Famer, no question.
100%. And man, Pujols and Miggy retiring, and potentially Votto. That's tough. That's tough for some. It's just making me feel old. All these guys from like my.
Now we just need a Dom generation. Smith retirement, and we're set.
Yeah, I don't. Unfortunately, I don't think we're gonna get that. We're gonna get another year of him.
Damn.
But yeah, and then Wainwright obviously had a great Cardinals career. Congratulations to him on his 200th win and retirement. He's gonna be a country music artist now. Good on him. Just go do what you want, man.
Kind of costly endeavor to get your 200th win with a, you know, 7.74 ERA or whatever it was. But hey, he got his 200th win. He can retire happy.
We don't have
to
talk about the season he just had. It was pretty bad.
I guess also it's worth mentioning Buck Showalter kind of retiring. Sort of.
Yeah.
Although maybe a forced retirement. We'll see. Yeah. Out as the Mets manager. You know, they just might be going in a different direction. Obviously, they're not in the place they thought they would be at the start of the year. So,
yeah.
But Buck is still a great manager, a lot of success in his career.
Yeah, I think that would be a good spot to go ahead and wrap this up. So we appreciate you guys hopping in to another episode of District Baseball. Nick, any final thoughts on any playoff matchups or anything like that?
Listen, I said it all before, but I'll just reiterate here. The World Series trophy is coming home to Toronto. Not worried about it. And then we're going to go back to back again, like we did in 93-94. God, I hope those are the years.
It was definitely not, but that's okay.
92-93.
Yes. Twins in 91.
Edit that in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll overdub that. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Blue Jays World Series champs.
Blue Jays World Series chance. You heard it here. Champs, you heard it here first. Check out our ats on x.com, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, below. And I know, I agree. And just get ready for some awesome postseason baseball. We'll be back covering these matchups next week. So we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.
Later, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.